following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Everyone from Bandit Sports Bar and Grill here in Grand Island, the Doug and Daddy Show on the road. It's going to be a busy day here at Bandit's. The Husker Sports Network will be doing their sports nightly show here tonight from 6 to 9. And come on out, enjoy some of the Husker gear. They're going to be giving away football tickets. It's pretty cool. They do this every July, take a swing across the state, make five stops. They've been in Grand Island at Bandit's before. We've had them down at Bullseyes in Hastings and, of course, in Kearney as well. But this year, the stop has them here in Grand Island, and we invite you to stop by. Lane Grindel, Ben McLaughlin, they'll be talking with Darren Erstad, Nebraska baseball coach, Rhonda Revelle, softball coach, among others, on their trip tonight. Coming up on our program here today, Steve Anderson is in again as my co-host with us here in Grand Island. We'll continue our Big Ten preview looking at Rutgers with Dan Duggan of NJ.com. Husker Matt Davison will not only talk about what they're going to be doing in Grand Island tonight, but a little bit about the Huskers. And in just a second, we'll talk to the guru of college football, Phil Steele, graciously giving us some of his time this morning. And Steve will get in to what happened last night. Mother Nature just seems to want to pick on the Midwest this year. And driving over today, we got to see Gibbon and North really got hit. We'll get to all of that in a little bit. But good morning to you.
Hey, it's always a treat, a real pleasure, Doug. And I'm amazed you got a shoehorn big enough to try to sandwich me into what is a chock full next hour here, but who wouldn't want to be in my seat? I mean, this is the most listened to outstate radio talk show in Nebraska. Of course, it's the only one.
Thanks, buddy. But
I've been working on trying to get back at you because I do get a little jab from you, at least one, every time I come on board, and that's as bad as it's going to get for me. But good morning. I'm tickled to death to be here.
It is the longest-running morning talk show in the state.
As
that's
well.
What I go with. That's what I go with. Phil Steele, college football guru, who has put the magazine together, and now he takes care of most of the media throughout the United States, and he's back with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Phil, good morning. Thanks for the time. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing real good. How about you, gentlemen, this morning?
Well, we're doing great. It's a pleasure to hear you, whether you're at the mothership in Bristol, Connecticut, making a stop, or any of the sports radio dials along this great state of Nebraska. And I know you've got all the answers for us, but we've had you on before, and I guess I don't remember if I've ever quite asked you this. You're talking about the 20th anniversary of your magazine, and there's you in the magazine holding the first edition. How did this thing get started? Why did you start Phil Steele's College Football Preview?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm going to owe it all to Mo Eloanobi, the Outland Trophy winner for BYU. And the reason I say that is the year he won the Outland Trophy, none of my notes had him listed, and I was relying on all the other preseason magazines out there to gather my information. And I said, how can I not even have this guy listed on my sheets? I need to start compiling the information myself. So that next year, 1990, I started putting all the information down myself. I was writing a football newsletter at the time, and that's why I had these detailed things. So I started making a detailed book for myself, and about 5 years later, somebody came up to me and said, you know, or 4 years later, I should say, you're putting all this information into a book for yourself every year. Why don't you try it in a magazine? So I did put it into a magazine in 1995. It was black and white. It was on newsprint. It was less than 200 pages. I only covered 88 teams at the time. And throughout that first edition, as opposed to nine regional covers, I had one cover with nine different little block players on there. But once people got the magazine in their hands, it did have the amount of information folks wanted. I feel it's got three to four times the amount of information. We've now gone from 88 teams up to 128 teams, from that black and white newsprint to full color, from less than 200 pages to 352 pages. I like to feel it's like getting 128 media guys rolled into one, and each year we make it a little bit bigger, a little bit better. So it wasn't even my idea to start off doing a magazine. I was just compiling the information for myself, and turned into a labor of love.
Mr. Steele, Steve Anderson here. It's a pleasure to visit with you. I just want to know how you positioned yourself to put a magazine on the rack here. When I go to an airport or whatever and I walk into a newsstand, I'm just overwhelmed by all of the football magazines that are out there. How have you positioned yourself to get your fair share of the market?
Well, I think the big thing is the amount of information we provide. And what we do sales checks and see how our magazine compares the other ones, and we've got the best sell-through rate in the industry. And the reason for that is once people get their hands on the magazine, if you're a football fan or a hardcore football fan, you've got to have the magazine each and every year. Now, if you're a casual fan and you just walk up to one of those newsstands and you flip through magazines, you probably open up mine and go, whoa, that's just way too much information, and put it right back down. But if it's information you like I said, if you're a fan or a hardcore fan, you're going to get this magazine every year. And we've got the others beat in two different areas. Number one, the clear amount of information. And there's no doubt, if you just look at the sheer amount of words in there, you're talking probably four times the amount of words of any other magazine, but also the most accurate magazine over the last 16 years. So that's pretty much how we've done it, is the quality of the product.
Well, let's jump in and talk a little football here with Phil Steele. Obviously, with the playoff finally coming into college football, four teams, you kind of like that. How will that change, and how do you see things playing out when it gets down to the nitty-gritty as far as how many teams will have an argument maybe at the end of the year? You've kind of shown the last 6-7 years, if there'd have been a playoff, how those would have panned out. How do you see it affecting the landscape of college football this first year?
You know, I think the biggest effect it could have in the landscape of college football is if the committee chooses a two-loss team over a one-loss team due to strength of schedule, or a one-loss team over an unbeaten team due to strength of schedule. I think what we'll then see is athletic directors scrambling around to try to toughen up those non-conference slates to give them that strength of schedule advantage, and I think it'd be a big-time plus for college football. Now, as far as the format goes, I'm a big four-team playoff guy. I don't want to see eight. I don't want to see 16. And if your argument is, hey, this number five team could have been the number four team, I don't want to hear it. The solution to the four-team playoff is simply, do we have teams that are legitimate national title contenders in the mix? I don't want to leave an unbeaten number three Auburn or USC, like it has been in past years, out of the national championship mix. That's why I think the four-team playoff includes everyone that's in there. Now, if the five teams got a legitimate beef that they should be number one or number two, then let's bring it into the argument. But until that happens, I'm not concerned if we have the right number five or four. I'm concerned that we've got the right one, two, and three teams that are competing for the national title. And the last thing I want to see is going to an 8 or 16-team playoff where, let's say, Alabama and Florida State both finish the season unbeaten. Why make them play three or four games to get to a national championship? Let's just go ahead and get it done after one.
Phil, obviously you have Nebraska a little bit lower in your rankings than the average publication, and we've talked that the strength of schedule as far as the road goes and the inexperience at quarterback. Are there other reasons Nebraska is not in the top 25 in most, or at least your preseason?
The main reason is the schedule. And, you know, frankly, Doug, I was wondering why I was so popular in the state of Nebraska this offseason. It seems like whenever you pick a team a little bit lower than they want to, you're popular radio guests in that state. And I think it's the third Nebraska show I've done in the last 2 days. But when I look at Nebraska, I look at the four teams that are there in the West, Iowa, Wisconsin. I'm going to throw Northwestern in the mix. And I'm sure Nebraska fans remember the Northwestern game last year. The Hail Mary pass at the end of the game wins it. That's a quality Northwestern team that's got the most experienced of the four teams. I think they're going to be a legitimate contender in the West. And then, of course, Nebraska. I think you're splitting hairs determining which team is better than the other. I've got Wisconsin slightly better than the other four, but not by much. And when you look at the schedules, Iowa's got the best schedule. I mean, they avoid Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and they get Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Northwestern all at home. Well, Nebraska's got the toughest of the schedules. Not only do they have to play each of the other three on the road, at Northwestern, at Wisconsin, at Iowa, they not only draw Michigan State out of the East, but they've got to play the Spartans on the road as well. And then how about the non-conference slate, bringing in a team like Miami of Florida and traveling out to face a Fresno State? it's the toughest schedule, I think, of the four teams. And really, a lot of times when it comes down to it, if you are very close talent-wise, and I like Nebraska's talent. I think you talked about the quarterback questions. I think they're in better shape at quarterback this year because, remember, last year they didn't expect Martinez to go down. He did. They were forced to play Tommy Armstrong and Ron Kellogg. Well, this year Tommy Armstrong's much more in control of the offense. Amir Abdullah is one of the best running backs in the country. Imani Cross gives him nice backup. The defensive line's one of the best in the country, led by Randy Gregory and Vincent Valentine. The linebacking core are right up there as my number 12 set of linebackers. The special teams is good. Really, the main reason I've got Nebraska a little bit lower than everybody else does come down to the schedule, and I think they could be an underdog in those four Big Ten road games.
And yet, Phil, because of the schedule, we've got a terrific opportunity of having a terrific record down the stretch of maybe 10-2. And just by the attrition rate, that ought to loft us up a little higher in the rankings, shouldn't it, when it's all said and done?
Absolutely. There's no doubt. If Nebraska gets this through this schedule and gets over those four lost seasons and gets up there to where they only dropped two games this year, absolutely. They would be ranked and ranked in the top 15, winning all those road games against ranked teams like that.
Can you back up just one moment, though, Phil, in regards to the Final Four situation this year? Our own Dr. Tom Osborne is on that committee that will decide who those teams are going to be. How much scrutiny, at what point in the season, did this committee really become visible enough that they're really going to start making an impact, especially amongst us fans who are sitting here gritting our teeth on how this thing's all going to shake out? Because this is, we're in virgin territory here. I can't even project how this thing is going to unfold over the course of the season.
Yeah, and you know, with my magazine has been the most accurate magazine over the last 16 years. So I sort of pride myself in being able to predict things. That's one thing I'm not even going to touch. I can't tell you how the committee's going to look, how the committee's going to vote, what's going to happen. I can't tell you how many teams are going to be in the mix. I, like you, just going to grab a bag of popcorn and sit there and watch the proceedings and see how it plays out this first year. And then, like everybody else, everybody will critique what just happened and give their own opinion as to what should happen. But I really have no clue how the committee's going to work out in this first year.
We've got just a couple of minutes left here with Phil Steele, the guru of college football. Be sure to check out the 20th anniversary and go to philsteele.com for more information. It seems like after Nebraska plays their non-conference series against some team, they all of a sudden become legit lately. You really like UCLA this year, and Nebraska's just come off playing them the last couple of years. What is it that they're doing so well that could really shoot them up in the Pac-12?
You know, when you look at UCLA, Jim Mora is an NFL guy, and I think he's fallen in the footsteps of Pete Carroll. Remember, Pete Carroll came in from the NFL, got USC really rolling. Mora's bringing in great recruits. They've got talent throughout the lineup. They've got NFL-caliber coaching there. And you look at last year, they lost three games last year. Two of them were in back-to-back weeks where they lost to Stanford and Oregon, two of the very best teams in the country. They lost to both those teams on the road, and in both games they were down to three freshman offensive linemen due to injuries and without their top running back. Yet, in both games, at the end of the third quarter, that game's tied. So they played them toe-to-toe with a depleted team last year. Now they get both those teams at home. They get USC at home this year. You look at their road schedule at Arizona State, but Arizona State's in a rebuilding year, at Washington, but I think they're ahead of Washington talent-wise. I can see UCLA being favored in all their games. They're one of the most experienced teams in the country with 17 returning starters. They've got Brent Hundley, a quarterback, some dangerous receivers, Miles Jack, and an outstanding defensive line. I think UCLA is going to surprise a lot of folks this year.
You've picked Florida State to repeat. Obviously, that is incredibly tough, and our Heisman Trophy winners have kind of been coming off the radar here as of late because freshmen have been playing such key parts out there. We always love the long shots. You love kind of Northwestern as one of your long shots. Just give us a handicap here of how you think the Heisman Trophy and why you think Florida State can repeat.
For the Heisman Trophy, I'm going against the returning Heisman Trophy champ, and actually it's only happened once. Archie Griffin was the only guy to repeat. It seems like teams get a little bit more fired up for taking on a Heisman winner. And if you're a Heisman winner trying to repeat, you have to top last year's accomplishments. Yeah. That's going to be tough for Jameis Winston to do. So I went with Marcus Mariota to win the Heisman. He got banged up down the stretch last year. If he's 100% all year, he probably guides the number one offense in the country. And if you're looking at the draft, Mariota and Winston are right at the top. Now, Florida State, the reason I like them to repeat, I think if you put yourself a four-team bracket right in front of you right now and said, okay, fill in your four teams, you're going to use a pencil for most of the teams. But the one team I feel pretty comfortable putting in pen in that 14 bracket is Florida State. They've got 13 returning starters this year, and the weakness of the team, and I'm going to put that in quote marks, the weakness of this team is their running back unit. I rate their running backs the 12th best unit in the country. That's their weakness. Every other unit is in the top 10. My number one quarterbacks, number one special teams in the country, number four offensive line, number three defensive line. I could go on. Then you factor in that schedule. I only rate it number 46. And unlike Nebraska, you look at their road games, they're much more manageable. Like an Oklahoma State is in a rebuilding mode this year. Louisville lost Teddy Bridgewater. Syracuse is not that foreboding of a place. I think when you look at Florida State, package the talent against the schedule, they will be a double-digit favorite in every single game this year, including the ACC title game. That's why I can write them in pen in my 14 bracket for getting into the playoffs.
And Phil, last question, because I'm very hesitant to ask it. Which Big Ten team that's been towards the top, and that could be a Nebraska, who's going to fall off a little bit this year?
I'm going to say Penn State. Just, and I love James Franklin. James Franklin did a phenomenal job at Vanderbilt. But when you look at them, they did have those sanctions come against them. We've been waiting for the shoe to drop for a couple of years, but this is a thin team, and I think a couple of injuries could hurt them. When a new head coach takes over, there's a little bit of attrition. Hackenberg's outstanding, but they have a tough schedule. I think you might see Penn State take a little step back this year.
Phil Steele, guru of college football, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Phil, thanks for taking time for all of the radio shows, not only in Nebraska but across the nation. It's always great talking to you and hearing from you, so enjoy the season.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on. It was a lot of fun talking football with you guys this morning.
Take care, buddy. Phil
thanks,
Steele,
guys.
He's the best. Go to philsteele.com. Make sure, I mean, this is the magazine. There's nothing in here. You can't not know everything about your team unless you get Phil Steele.
And have I not been a casual listener of yours? Again, it amazes me how many magazines, periodicals, sources there are out there. It's almost overwhelming, so much so that, you know, years ago I lived and died and breathed waiting for the mailman to bring me my Sports Illustrated, because that's really the only thing that was out there in 1963. But now I don't know which way to go, other than the fact that this guy is a guru, and I was going to ask him here, but obviously, I mean, websites and all this stuff are still kind of Greek to me, but once the season starts, there's no end to it. I'm thinking, you know, he's already put out his pride and joy, his piece of work, a fantastic publication here. But his job's never over, is it? 52
nope.
weeks out of the year.
Always got something to...
What a great way to live.
Keep his database going. And again, for the folks that haven't seen it, Phil has Florida State number one, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, who he always loves, and UCLA in his top five. Georgia, then just will follow Oregon, Georgia, Baylor, Auburn, and South Carolina are in the top 10. Michigan State, he has 11th. Wisconsin is 13th in his rankings. Some other schools of note, he's got Notre Dame 17th in the rankings, and he's got Texas 25th. He goes top 40 with Northwestern 27th, Michigan 30th, Iowa 32nd, Nebraska 33rd in his rankings, and that is the final Big Ten team that he mentions. It goes all the way down. If you look at his top 50, he doesn't have another Big Ten team in the top 50. So he likes the Big Ten in between there. He's got six of them in the top 33, but we'll find out.
No, the consensus is pretty much across the board the same way, Doug. Do you feel good about that, that the Huskers, again, are off the radar screen, for the most part, not in the top 25? I guess that's where you want to be.
Well, they're... I see him as high as 17. I think somewhere between that and 25 is realistic because of their consistency. I mean, they're winning. They're one of the three teams that get nine every year, so it's safety. But 9-4 every year doesn't necessarily mean you're going to finish in the top 25. Just depends who you beat. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We are live at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill. Stop in for their lunch special. Big slice of Sax pizza today. Your choice with potato chips and a soda for only $4.99. You can get that all day among the many menu items here at Bandits. When we come back, we've got Matt Davison of the Husker Sports Network and Dan Duggan, NJ.com. We're live at Bandits. Come join us for lunch.
Are you ready for this?
Leave the night on at the Buffalo County Fair with action-packed events presented by Midway Auto Dealerships. July 26th, watch the draft horses compete from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then at 5 p.m., see the Anderson Wrecking Demolition Derby. It's family fun at the 6th Annual United Way Shootout Bull Riding. Tickets available in advance and at the gate.
Are you ready for this?
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see a few storms around the area early on today mainly, otherwise seeing partly sunny skies develop with a high of 85, as winds will stay to the south at 15 to 25. Then scattered storms are possible tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 73.
Doug and Daddy Show live from Bennett Sports Bar and Grill in Grand Island, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road here again today. Doug Dudas, Steve Anderson, voice of Fauner Park, co-hosted with me as we're here in GI. And don't forget, you can stop by and check out Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac to get you the vehicle. Maybe it's time to send your student off to college. They need something to drive, what you've got for them right now, or if they don't have anything, you need to get them ready for college, or you get ready for that family vacation, something new, or just service your vehicle, get some new tires on. The maintenance department, service department does a bang-up job. Make your appointment today or go online, get registered for the Kawasaki, and all the great items are going to be given away here during the summer of fun at Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com.
Bandits.com. Well, the summer road show continues here at Bandits tonight. Our friends from the Husker Sports Network will be on hand among their guests, Darren Erstad, Ron Revell, of course, on the voice of the Huskers with Greg Sharp is former Husker great Matt Davison, and he joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me on again. It's been a while.
Well, it's getting that time, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's less than a couple months away here, and we're getting ready for football season. Another year for Big Red fans, and it's going to be a great year, I think. I'm really excited about this.
Well, this morning, the Big Ten office released all the guys that are going to be going to Big Ten Media Days. The Huskers are going to send Amir Abdullah, Kenny Bell, and Corey Cooper, three seniors that hope to make a big, big impact. And always some good feedback, and I know it's been a little different this year. I know, Matt, usually a couple, three guys, they do the whole trip across the state. You guys are kind of mixing it up a little bit this year. But tell the folks, before we jump into Husker football, what they can expect tonight when they come to Bandits.
Well, they can expect to have a good time. You know, we've done this road show for I don't know how many years now, but it's always a lot of fun to get out across the state. And, you know, some years it works in all of our schedules to be there for the whole week and to kind of go across the state Monday through Friday. And then some years it doesn't really work out that way, and this happens to be one of those years. So tonight will be actually the only night that I'll be out on the road show, but I'm glad to come to Grand Island. You know, it's a great community. I've been there many times for different events, obviously, and we're going to have a great time. You know, we'll be on the air, but we'll have plenty of time to stop and talk to people, meet people, sign anything if people would like autographs, and you know, it's just a great way for us to kind of give back to the great fans of Nebraska that support our network and support Big Red Sports.
Now, Matt, I can't believe there's not anybody in the state that doesn't already have your autograph, right?
Well, it still shocks me whenever anybody asks for it, to be honest with you. I can't believe people still want it. But, you know, the new thing is the selfie thing. So I'm not signing as many autographs these days and more pictures and stuff, which is fine. But, you know, Tim Miles has picked up the slack. Luckily, he's done, you know, what, 50,000 of them, I think, in the last couple of years. So, you know, he's really taken the burden off of some of the rest of us, but we still like to do those things once in a while.
Hey, Matt, Steve Anderson here. It's a pleasure to visit with you. Longtime fan, never met you personally. A graduate of the university, clear back in 1975. I cut my teeth in the broadcast journalism school there and got to know Mr. Bob Devaney and Tom Osborne very well. And these guys, it goes clear back to Bob. You know, he started the tradition not only of winning, but of getting out and visiting with the fans and barnstorming across the state. And I can't tell you how warm it made me feel inside when this whistle stop thing came to fruition a couple of weeks ago. And that was, I think, a PR coup, wasn't it, for Nebraska, especially for Bo Pelini, who in this day and age needs anything and everything he can to get out there, meet the fans, and improve his self-image.
Well, yeah, it's great to talk to you. Great to talk to you. Yeah, it's great to talk to you, too. And, I guess the train stop thing, I think, was a great idea. And, you know, it was great for our fans, and it was, I think, fun for the guys that were a part of it. I hope to be a part of it if they do it again someday. I didn't get the invite. I didn't make the cut this year, but I would have liked to have been a part of it. And you know, the thing is, it's not that hard to do the right thing during the middle of the summer with our fans and to get out and go to different communities across the state. I mean, everybody's busy, and we understand that it's hard to find a time that multiple coaches can go and people from the athletic department. But at the same time, it's something that our coaches understand that they need to do and that they actually enjoy doing. You know, Bo actually liked it. And again, it's not that hard. You know, pick out a few communities each year and say, hey, this is where we're going to go, and this is how we're going to do it. And I'm really glad that they came up with that idea this year, and hopefully they build on that and do more of it and give back to the fans as much as they can, because we all know that, you know, the athletic department wouldn't be what it is, the sports programs that we have wouldn't be what they are without all the fans. And so get out and see those people, and I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, and Matt, you know, by the time they got to Grand Island, Bo and Tim Miles had pretty much formed an Abbott and Costello team. I mean, this was good stuff. They need to take it to the next level, don't you think?
Well, I've enjoyed seeing those guys' friendship really grow. And, you know, they're much different guys. I think we all know that. They're very different, but they get along really well. And I have the opportunity to be around both of them a lot. And, you know, they've really formed quite a bond. It's really been fun to see.
We're talking with Matt Davison, Husker Sports Network. We're live at Bandits this morning. The Husker Sports Nightly Summer Roadshow will be here tonight from 6 to 9. Come out and see Matt and Lane and Ben and the entire gang. Darren Erstad, Rhonda Ravel. It's going to be a cool night here. Let's talk, though, about the Grand Island football players that will definitely continue to have an impact on this season. Of course, you got Sam Foltz in there, who started the year really well last year, maybe plateaued off in the punting position. And then you got Riker Fife, and Steve Taylor kind of come up and said something I saw earlier this week, that he's kind of in his corner a little bit. This quarterback race seems to be pretty open, but Matt, when you talk, especially Riker Fife, and talk about both the Grand Island kids, but what do you see Riker's role being this fall?
Well, it's always great to see Nebraska kids make an impact on the team, and Foltz, I think, is going to have a great year. You know, I really believe he's going to be more consistent than he was a year ago, and I think he's going to do really well. You know, Riker Fife, to me, as I watched him this spring and just up close and personal in practice, watching him in drills, watching him throw with guys in his face, under heat, in the pocket. You know, to me, he throws the ball. The ball comes out of his hand, and he spins it about as well as any quarterback I can remember in quite some time. You know, he can throw it up top. He has kind of a three-quarter release sometimes. He can get rid of it at different angles if need be, and he's just got a cannon. You know, I really like how he throws it. I think it's nice to know that we have a couple quarterbacks that can play. Now, obviously, Tommy has so much experience, and you know, he's probably the leader in the clubhouse right now. But to know you have a guy that has the tools, at least, behind him that can play at this level is comforting. And even though Riker hasn't played in a game and you know, not much, and we don't know how he would react under pressure, still, knowing you have a guy that has the ability to do it is something we didn't know we had even 6 months ago. So I think he's kind of come out of nowhere. I think he's going to put a little heat on Tommy. He's definitely going to play this fall, and hopefully we have some games early on where we can get him a bunch of snaps and get some experience for him.
What are you – I don't know how much you can see in the off season, but what are you hearing Tim Beck saying that he likes the way Armstrong is improving? What areas, what are you hearing? Where can he possibly get better in the off season, or will we not know that until we see him in that first game?
Well, you know, you have to go out and prove it in games. That's the bottom line. But when it comes down to what he needed to improve on, I mean, I think decision-making was number one for me. And, you know, maybe the coaches would see it differently. But, you know, to me, it's just, you know, understanding when to throw the ball out of bounds, understanding coverages and when to not throw it into double coverage, or to make a throw into a tight window. You know, what it comes down to for Tommy Armstrong this fall is not turning the football over. You know, we're going to have a good football team. And in a lot of ways, I think we're going to go as far as the quarterback play takes us. We're solid in almost every position on the football team. You know, I hope Tommy understands he doesn't have to go out and win the game. I think he understands that. We're going to need him to make some plays at times. But at the same time, you know, we have a good defense, and punting the football away isn't the worst thing in the world. So, you know, you look at last year and you saw glimpses of greatness, and then you'd see plays where you kind of shake your head and say, well, that's inexperience. And whether you have experience or not, you understand as a quarterback you can't turn the football over. And that's really, to me, what it comes down to for Tommy this year is does he protect the football and give our football team a chance to win every Saturday?
Matt, in regards to the athletic talents of Sam Foltz, Correct me if I'm wrong, but a year ago about right now, Doug, weren't we tipped off that he was the fastest guy on the football team or one of the fastest, and that there would be a play down the pike somewhere when you least expect it, that he'd be running out of that punt formation? Unfortunately, when they used it, everybody in the world knew it was coming after me. Matt, how do you utilize, is he still considered one of the fastest players on the team, if not the fastest?
I mean, he's a great athlete. I think we all understand that. You know, he's a kid that can do a lot of different things. He just happens to be punting for us now. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a risk-reward deal. And it's up to Coach Pelini when they want to try to fake a punt or have him throw it or run it or whatever they're going to do. I'd like to see him try a few more things in special teams. I think special teams are an area that we could get a lot better, you know, especially punt return. We all know that we struggled there mightily. But, you know, I think our special teams with a guy like Sam could cause problems for teams if we do some different things and not only allow us to maybe get some first downs and extend drives, but also put pressure on the opposing team to understand that that is a threat. And so maybe you'll see Nebraska pull something like that out of the hat early in the season just so that it gets on film and you see other teams as they prepare for Nebraska. It takes them 5 or 10 minutes per week to prepare for a fake punt, and they know that Fultz is a guy that could get it done.
Just a couple of minutes left here with Matt Davison, Husker Sports Network. He'll be here at Bandits tonight with the Husker Sports Nightly Summer Roadshow that gets underway at 6 o'clock. We just had Phil Steele, guru of college football magazines, in the segment before this, and he's got the Huskers at number 33 with quite a few Big Ten teams above them. And I know this is all a guessing game, and as we talked about, I think the highest I've seen him is number 17. But July 10th, give me a little prognostication here, Matthew.
Well, you know, everybody's guess at this point is a guess, but I really think we have a chance to be good, you know, and I think people, if they listen to us at all on the air, they understand that I'm pretty honest when it comes to our football team. I just feel like we're pretty good all around. You know, I think our linebackers need to step up. They need to play better than they did a year ago. I think we have 5 or 6 guys that are good athletes, but they have to play better. Other than that, on defense, we are solid. You can't ever predict injuries, so you need to stay away from those. But offensively, we have, I mean, how many teams have Abdullah and Bell and Westerkamp and the crew of wide receivers that we have with Jamal Turner? I mean, we have weapons. We have a stable of running backs. So we have playmakers, and John Garrison has done a great job with this offensive line. So even with the injuries last year, the offensive line played pretty well. So I expect the offensive line to be better. You know, what it comes down to me is does Tommy Armstrong play well, or if it's Riker Fife, does he play well? I think the quarterback play and how Tim Beck puts this offense together is really going to decide how far this team goes. I think we're good enough to beat everybody on our schedule, but we're probably not so good that we couldn't lose 4 or 5 games. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting year. I can't wait for it to start, but I have high hopes. I really believe we have a good football team, and it's going to be exciting for our fans, you know, but we have to cut down on turnovers. To me, that's the number one thing.
All right, Matt. Hey, thanks for your honesty as always. I know the folks are going to have a good time. Can't wait to see you here at Bandits tonight with the Summer Roadshow. We'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's that time, 14 teams in 14 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 28th and 29th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Big Ten East Division for today's team.
Rutgers.
The Scarlet Knights.
It's time for 14 teams in 14 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
From NJ.com. Dan, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for holding on for us.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Let's get into it. We know what Nebraska went through becoming a new member of the Big Ten Conference. Rutgers comes in. The schedule looks tough. Everybody's giving Maryland a little bit more kudos coming into this football season. But from a logistics standpoint, how do the Rutgers fans feel about coming into the Big Ten Conference?
I don't think they could be any more excited. I mean, obviously, like you said, there's going to be some challenges in the big, you know, in the short term, but just big picture, they couldn't be more excited. I mean, especially when you consider what they were facing, the conference realignment wheel was kind of spinning. There was a definite chance they're going to be outside looking in. And then you got to get the golden ticket to join a league like the Big Ten. It's really a best-case scenario for them.
Expectations, let's face it, unless you read cover to cover and go deep into the Rutgers books here the last 4 years, we're just not going to know a lot about Rutgers football. We know that they've had some very talented players. We know that they've been a competitive enough team to upset a few people, win some bowl games. What's the outlook for Rutgers going into the Big Ten compared to where they would have been staying in their conference?
I mean, internally, they're saying that, you know, that they're not expecting to take a step back. I mean, I think realistically, you just look at the schedule, let alone the fact that they're going into the Big Ten, they're playing the best teams in the Big Ten right out of the gate. So, I mean, I think realistically, it's hard to see them, you know, making a bowl this year, but at the same time, this team has got a lot of veteran talent, and, you know, like they kind of had a peak there with Schiano, but more or less, they've been a pretty solid team. I mean, they've made a bowl 8 out of 9 years. Now, granted, these aren't New Year's Day bowls or anything like that, but you know, they've been a respectable program. I think that they can probably go in and maybe best case is be a mid-level Big Ten team and kind of fight to be 500 to get to a bowl game. So, I mean, I don't think that their team is certainly going to come in and knock off the Ohio States and the Nebraskas of the world right out of the gates. But I think that there's a chance that if things go right, they could certainly be in that next tier where, you know, you're 6-6, maybe 7-5. But things are going to have to go right for that to happen. It's, like you said, certainly a step up in competition. And like I said, they got no favors from the schedule makers. So it's going to be tough to achieve that.
Well, don't feel bad because this has become a trait of the Big Ten Conference. When Nebraska came in 4 years ago, they made us run the gauntlet against the absolute powerhouses on both sides of the divisions. And it really just took the stuffings out of us physically from start to finish. So, again, Rutgers, I don't know that you're in the same boat here. People can't totally be pleased about that. Cut us a break. Let us just kind of warm up to this Big Ten idea, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think part of it's obviously the way they made the divisions. The East kind of got loaded up on a little bit more of the traditional powers, so that alone is going to be a tough draw for them. And then obviously, like, you know, getting the two top teams, arguably, from the West and the crossover. Yeah, they certainly didn't make it easy. I think the flip side, if you're strictly looking at it from an interest level and a fans level, there's going to be a little bit more juice having Wisconsin coming for homecoming than, say, if it was Purdue. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think the coaching staff probably cares too much about the juice. They want to have some probably winnable games. But, yeah, they're getting thrown right into the fire. It's going to be welcome to the Big Ten in a big way. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the way the league does it. I think Maryland has two top West teams, two in their crossover. So, I guess exposure-wise is good because you're getting to face the best of the best. But I'm sure the coaches wouldn't mind throwing in a Purdue or an Illinois to maybe have a little better chance just competitively.
Yeah, here's your check. Now get ready for the truck to run you over is what it seems like. Dan exactly. Duggan, NJ.com, joining us on our 14 teams in 14 days, leading us up to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. It's not like Rutgers doesn't have any talent, though, Dan. I mean, it looks like the linebacker core is the strength of this team. Is that where you would start?
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively, the front seven in general is going to be the strength. But, you know, the linebackers have a little more experience and some more proven commodities there. Like, they have Steve Longa, who was a redshirt freshman last year and led the team in tackles. He was actually one of the leading tacklers in the country. So he's kind of the big guy. He's actually played middle linebacker last year, and they're moving him to the weak side just to kind of free him up a little bit more. So he's a guy who, for better or worse, will be making, you know, probably 12 tackles a game. And like I said, the defensive line has a lot of potential, but, you know, it's kind of a scary word because let's see if they can actually get it done, especially against these Big Ten offensive lines. And then the secondary was pretty much the Achilles heel last year. And, I mean, it's a lot of the same guys back. So, again, for better or worse, they got a year of experience, but who knows if they're going to be up to the level of competition. And the offense probably has a little bit more talent, but they just have the biggest question mark on the team, which is quarterback Gary Nova, who he's a senior. He started pretty much the majority of the last two seasons, started as a freshman about half the game. So he's got plenty of experience, but it's been a roller coaster ride. A lot of great games, but probably more bad games. Just really gets plagued by turnovers and bad decisions. So they actually opened up the quarterback competition this spring, and the reality was there's just nobody waiting in the wings who's going to unseat him. So they're going to ride with him this year. And I'd say if you're going to look at the biggest factor in how this team can go, like I said, if they're going to be 6-6, 7-5, it's going to be they're going to need a good Gary Nova a lot more than they've gotten in the past. And if it's going to be a tough kind of a tailspin type season, it's because you know they won't be able to fix him, and he's still going to be plagued by the same problems that have kind of plagued him the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think in Nebraska, all the fans are fine if they pull the plug on the starter because they're all young and could all move in there. That has to be a little bit disturbing, but you've got Kyle Flood now going into his third season. That's usually the year everybody says, okay, now it's time. Just your thoughts on the coach.
Yeah, I mean, this is about as make or break as it comes, third year of a 5-year deal. And he actually just went out and hired Jimmy Sexton, you know, the big power agent. So that was an interesting move because either he's setting up for a battle at the end of the season if things go bad, I guess, or if things go well, he's probably setting up for a nice extension. But yeah, the thing with Kyle is he inherited quite a bit from what Shiano said, and he left the cupboards pretty stacked. And you know, his first year got off to a great start, and it looked like the BCS was a possibility, and they kind of had a late season swoon and missed out on that. And then last year they started hot, and the swoon hit a little harder and a little sooner. So they really basically just scraped into a bowl game with winning the last game of the regular season. So things are kind of trending in the wrong direction, especially on the recruiting trail. So I think that it's just such a make or break year for him in so many ways, because if it's a bad year, I mean, I guess it'll be somebody else's problem to worry about. But if it's a good year, you know, he can probably turn things around on the recruiting trail. I think there's a lot of kids in Jersey who are kind of scared off by the uncertainty, and they kind of want to see what happens when Rutgers is in the Big Ten. So if you have a good year, I think they can turn it around pretty quickly on the recruiting trail. And like I said, if things don't go well, I don't think it's going to be Kyle Flood's mess to clean up. So I think he'll be looking for a job somewhere else.
Couple minutes here left with Dan Duggan of NJ.com. Steve?
Hey, Dan, has the media in the metropolitan area there taken a kindness to this new arrangement of Rutgers going into the Big Ten? I know from our perspective, we wanted to make a dent in one of the largest population bases in the country to try to up everything, the advertising dollar, you name it. It's all about money. But has that been the case so far in the early going?
I mean, I would say on the general media front, the whole fact that the Big Ten Network's been able to penetrate the market, getting deals with all the big cable providers, that part's really big, and that's a big success of the league. As far as kind of just the day-to-day media, it's not like the New York papers haven't really shown Rutgers any more attention yet. I think that'll change a little bit once the season starts. It's kind of been a strange thing because I've been waiting forever for July 1st to get here. July 1st gets here, and they literally had fireworks, but nothing really happened. You know, it's just like it's all for the books, but now they're officially in it. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I know that Penn State game is there. Their Big Ten opener is at home against Penn State on prime time, so really couldn't get a better stage. And I'm sure all the local media from New York, and I'm sure even some of the national writers will probably be at that game. So that'll be interesting to see. And again, the thing here is big time is you have to win to draw eyeballs because there's just so many options, and especially Rutgers because you know they fall behind all the pro teams, and it's just not a huge New York City. The New York papers don't concentrate on them. So unless they go on a great run, then sure, they'll capture all that media attention. But day-to-day, I wouldn't say there's been much of a bump. And like I said, it's more just the Big Ten Network kind of getting into these markets, which obviously was a big driving force. That part's been a success so far.
Dan, the Big Ten announced all the guys that are be coming for us to chat with at Media Days at the end of the month. And unless I didn't hear this right, I don't think we've mentioned any of the guys from Rutgers that they're bringing. Fullback Michael Burton, defensive lineman Darius Hamilton, defensive back Lorenzo Waters. Just you got a quick overview of that trio?
Michael Burton's just kind of like a lunch pail type fullback. You know, it's probably not going to be a guy who generates a lot of headlines, but just a really good, solid guy in the classroom, on the field, off the field. Just kind of one of those model guys, but not someone who's going to come up in a scouting report necessarily. Lorenzo Waters, he's going to be a third-year strong safety. So he's actually kind of a key guy. He's not the most dynamic player in the world, but just from a leadership standpoint, he's going to be an important guy, especially, like I said, a lot of the secondary is young and obviously had a tough year last season. But Darius Hamilton, actually, he's kind of the other guy I can name. It's probably him and Longa are the two stars of the defense. Like I said, a lot of inexperience. Darius is a junior and really came on last year at the end of his sophomore season. He's one of the biggest recruits Rutgers ever landed. He's a Jersey kid, so that alone kind of boost his profile around here, because that's pretty much always the battle to keep the best jersey kids home. And he's a kid who really could blossom this year, I think. And you know, he's a little bit undersized for a defensive tackle, but he has all the talent. He has the pedigree. His father was a defensive end for the Giants for 12 years, Keith Hamilton. So he's a kid who really could blow up this year, and he's got a good personality, so he's kind of a natural to bring to something like that.
And, Dan, give us something for Rutgers. You're new. We don't know the Rutgers tradition. We don't know a whole lot about necessarily the campus and some of the things that go on there. If you had one or two things to tell Nebraska fans or Big Ten fans about Rutgers, what stands out as far as the university goes?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm actually relatively new, too. I'm a Boston guy, and I've only been down for about 8 months covering the team. So the thing that surprised me really right at the bat is their fan base is a lot more passionate than I probably expected coming in, just because, you know, growing up in the Northeast, Rutgers wasn't even on my radar, really, as a big-time program. But it's kind of like a sleeping giant, they say, about Rutgers in a lot of ways. And I think the fan support is a really strong base, and it could grow. Again, it's gonna take results, but that was something that surprised me. I mean, I think people, obviously Nebraska will be here next year, I think they'll be impressed by the just the fan atmosphere at a game. It's obviously not at a Michigan, Ohio State, Nebraska level, but, you know, the tailgate scene is great, and the stadium can get loud in big games. So I think that's something that might be a little interesting. I think that the fan experience will probably exceed maybe what expectations are.
Dan, be a quick travel planner then for us when we do come out there next year, because I loved our first visit at Northwestern, being able to fly into Chicago, take the train up to Evanston. It was just a wonderful day of college football. And we were hoping we were going to play in Wrigley Field this year. That would have been a real stroke of genius, but it doesn't look – well, we know it's not going to happen. But when we come back there, what do? Fly into New York City? Do we go into Newark? Plan a couple of days for me. How am I going to enjoy a Rutgers-Nebraska football game?
Well, that's kind of the beauty of it, because you have options. I mean, you can fly into Newark and then just kind of stay somewhere in Jersey near Rutgers, and, you know, there's plenty to do, and obviously on game day, that's what you see. But you also have the option of – New York City and Philly are both pretty accessible. So if you wanted to kind of make a little mini vacation out of it, you could easily come to New York City and spend a couple of days there before. You know, there's plenty to do in New York City, obviously. And, you know, same deal if Philly's more your preference. But, yeah, I would think that if I'm a Nebraska fan, I would probably want to come maybe Thursday and spend two nights in New York City. And then it's a quick train ride, you know, about 45 minutes to get to Rutgers, and then you get to enjoy kind of the best of both worlds. So I think that's something that's a little bit unique. Obviously, the whole deal with Rutgers is they're close to New York, and that's an attractive thing. So I guess if you're coming, that would be probably the thing to take advantage of.
Is getting a ticket going to be a problem?
Well, that'll be interesting to see, because you know, ticket sales have gotten a nice spike from just joining the Big Ten. But it's not like they haven't sold out their allotment of season tickets and whatnot. But I'm sure when these Big Ten teams, I mean, you know better how Nebraska travels, but I mean, I already know with Penn State coming up, that's going to be a tough ticket. So I'm sure that just the novelty when Nebraska comes up here for the first time, it probably will be a tough ticket, but they're not at the point where they're at your guys' level where you're selling out every game. So I think you'll be able to get your hands on a ticket.
Well, Dan, hey, we'll let you get back to work. Hopefully we'll see you in Lincoln when that rolls up the final Saturday in October. And we really appreciate you filling us in on the Scarlet Knights. Enjoy the season, and hopefully we can chat again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Take care. Join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dan Duggan, NJ.com. You can read all of his articles at NJ.com and keep up with a little bit more on one of the new schools. And I'm going to tell you what, Steve, there's one reason, major. I mean, it's kind of if Rutgers had the Nebraska name, they're not quite in the same boat, but the schedule and the quarterback are the two main concerns for Rutgers. Their key is they have that Thursday night game to open the season, and they travel all the way across the country to Washington State, which, you know, a neutral site is one thing, but to play that first game where you can both be prepared for each other, you've got the whole summer to get ready for that game. That is going to be huge, because if they're going to even have a chance to be a 500 team, they have to win that game. After that, their home opener is Howard, which I believe the Big Ten Network listed as the most put-your-finger-down-your-throat game of the entire season of the non-conference games. Then Penn State comes in. They go to Navy. And then Tulane comes in. Here's the start. And there's a couple of buys in here. But here's the start of their Big Ten schedule. Host Michigan, go to Ohio State. Next week, go to Nebraska, then come home and play Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Big Ten, boys.
99.
You know, they do fit the profile, I think, even much more better than Nebraska, of being the old typical Big Ten kind of idols. You know, you blight somebody. And that's why I look forward to going back and experiencing some of these stadiums. I don't know how big of a venue they have back there, but my gosh, the potential of what they can accomplish with all the people that do live in their area is phenomenal. I just hope the best for both Maryland and Rutgers and everybody in the Big Ten, because I'd like to think that we made the absolute perfect move to join this conference. And if they ever somehow get Notre Dame into the mix, I will have felt like I died and went to heaven, because that's the only school they ever really wanted anyway, wasn't it?
Oh, we're here at Bandits. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question for the day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, we asked you how closely you're watching NBA free agency with LeBron James and Bosch and all the other names that are out there. And 78% said they do have a mild interest, kind of like me, and 22% said they're not watching, and nobody said they're going overboard doing this. So today we ask you, who's going to win the World Cup on Sunday, Germany or Argentina? I had Brazil beating Argentina, I believe, in the final. Germany made Brazil look just laughable. Unfortunately, I would hate it to have been on the other side of that. But as a sports fan, everybody's favorite team, no matter how good they are or were, got rolled at some point. I'm taking Argentina in the upset. Do you have a choice here, Steve?
I got to side with the blood is thicker than water theory. I have a little bit of German in me, but my kids and grandkids got a whole lot of German in them. So I'm waving the flag for Germany, and that's the only deciding factor from my perspective.
Well, you can vote on our Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. We've got even more Nebraska football news and a couple other topics to chat about as we are here at Bandits Sports Bar and Grill, where Husker Sports Nightly will be here tonight. And don't forget, Evan Scott Trio will be playing music next Thursday, July 17th. So Thursday nights always hopping here at Bandits. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better, with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Looking for a great job? Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating is currently hiring service plumbers and heating and cooling technicians. Experience is preferred, but if you're hardworking and dependable, Anderson Brothers is willing to provide training. You'll benefit from an excellent starting wage and a great benefit package, which includes health insurance, 401k, and a cafeteria plan. To apply or for further information, stop in person at Anderson Brothers Kearney or Holdridge location during regular business hours. Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating, an equal opportunity employer.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Danny show rolling on this Thursday. Don't forget tomorrow our Big Ten preview takes us to Minnesota. Our boss Craig will definitely be earnest on that because Steve, he still is. Yeah, see, he's here with us today. He's wearing his Minnesota wrist bracelet, one of six in production.
He owns all six of them?
Well, he's got one of them. He's got one of them. I think Jerry Kill's wife has one.
Oh, okay.
You know,
well, it's select company then.
And it's pretty rough when you look at that. Hey, folks, when you think of lawn and landscaping, the only name you need to know is Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Everything to keep your lawn looking great all year round. And maybe the storms, and unfortunately has banged that around a little bit. It could have uprooted one of your trees. It could have moved some of your landscaping around, and that's why they're there to help. Trees, shrubs, rocks, custom concrete, edging. It's never too early or late to be working on your yard, your rental property, your office. Take care of it with the great folks at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Give them a call at 308-237-LAWN or look them up online at NebraskaLandscape.com, NebraskaLandscape.com. Of course, the nursery is located just beside Yellow Van, 6th Street in Kearney. Proudly landscaping Nebraska and doing amazing work at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Preseason honors continue to roll in for Nebraska defensive end Randy Gregory. Today named to the watch list for the Bronco Nagurski Trophy, another one that goes out to the top defensive player in the country. No surprise there. He led the Huskers in tackles for loss, third on the team in total tackles, and led the Big Ten in sacks last year, Steve, a guy that you don't want tackling you.
Yeah, and then I see Pelini's in line maybe for the Remington Award as well.
Yeah.
Hey, the preseason, this is when it really starts to get interesting because I'll tell you what, a week ago I was really in the doldrums when I was on the air with you. I thought the dog days had already set in, but I'm charged up now. I can't wait to get out of here.
Well, I can't.
So I can come back.
Well, we can't wait here at Bandits for the Husker Sports Nightly Summer Road Show. And Tim is joining us here from Bandits as we're back again during kind of our summer season here. Always great to be back. And you've been pretty busy so far today.
Well, yeah, it's been kind of a hectic day for me. We got the Husker Sports Nightly crew setting up right now. So looking forward to that tonight. And then going to have you guys back again. So,
well, it's a great day. I mean, anytime somebody comes in with an N on their chest or their hat and represents Nebraska. And I think it's really cool that Darren Erstad and Ron Revell will be here tonight, and Matt Davison and Lane Grindle. So not only can you come in, watch your favorite sports, have a great pizza or whatever they want off the menu, ice cold beverage, get an autograph. They can listen to the show tonight and interact with a couple of coaches that have had outstanding seasons.
Yeah, they've had really great seasons, and Erstad being kind of a legend in his own right, that's going to be kind of neat. Looking forward to meeting him, and should be a good time.
And Grand Island has always, and one of the things, and I don't know who all they might have on the schedule for tonight, but we already talked about Sam Fultz Riker 5 football team with Matt Davison. But, you know, they have had some legends from baseball, you know, Johnny Dorn, Cash Kalkowski, R.D. Spies. There's so many guys that have had connections to Grand Island, and that's just in my recollection of the last 15, 20 years. Steve, you probably have a couple
Phil,
more.
Don't forget Phil Ellis. You know, he was on one of those national, maybe two of those national championship teams, and he still hangs his hat in Grand Island, and he's probably the most low-profile ex-Husker football player of all time. In fact, when you look at him, Tim, because I'm sure he's a frequent visitor of your establishment here, he doesn't even look like he could have played football.
No, he doesn't. Really.
He was one of the best ever.
No, he doesn't, and you wouldn't know. He's not, you know, he's just a regular, everyday guy. You wouldn't even... No, unless you know who he is, you wouldn't know that he.
No, I and so humble. I've tried to strike up a conversation or two with him about those legendary teams, and he really doesn't have a whole lot to say about it. And he was a pivotal player.
Yeah, he's just pretty low key. That's just how he rolls, I guess.
And of course, you can't forget somebody that has a little MD tag, Mr. Cahoy. Of course, resides here, and his boy's doing real well.
You know, we referenced that last week when Tino Martinez was on talking about the home Federal Legion baseball team. And, you know, Tino's the perfect person to be in that situation because I've been there years ago and the coaching side of the ledger dealing with parents is a never-ending process. And even though as successful as this team has been and as great as they've been, as far as tradition is concerned in Legion baseball, you still have to deal with parents. And now you're dealing with some legendary parents, you know. I'd like to think that Dr. Cahoy is an absolute terrific parent that is an arm's length away from what's going on out on the field. But how tempting must it be for him and people like Monty Hankey to want to put a little bit of info in the coach's ear? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You've never done that, have you, Tim?
No, not me. Not me.
Well, I know you got to get back there and get back to cooking some lunches up, but what can we expect tonight for the folks that come out to Bandits?
Well, we've got our wing night again, so it's 60-cent wings, 65-cent breaded. Going to run probably a happy hour. I'm going to extend the happy hour till 10 o'clock. So that's what we get. We got 250 giant mugs and $2 pints, $2 domestic bottles and pints. And of course, wing night's always really good. So it's always pretty popular.
We've got a lunch special today, slice of the Great Saks pizza, soda, $4.99. You've got music coming in. And again, one of the cool things that you do on Sunday, fill us in about that.
Oh, the pizza and the wings?
Yeah,
you can come in and get a – we started that during the football season a couple of years ago, and it went so well, we just kind of continued it. But it's, you get large pizza, a dozen wings, and a pitcher of beer for $20. So it's, you know.
And again, the best deal, Steve, as I said last week, you can get two pizzas, two dozen wings, and two pitchers of beer for $40.
And that, and that
that's
beer,
even better.
And it's cold, cold beer.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Timmy, we love coming over here to Bandits. You got music next Thursday. Anything else we need to know?
Actually, there's a band on the Tuesday the 22nd. There's a band called Science. They're out of Seattle. They called us. They're actually traveling through from Denver to Omaha, and they're just going to be passing through town on that Tuesday. So they're going to stop in. It's a little two-man acoustical band called Science. They're original. I don't know. I think they'll do some covers too, probably. But
cool.
It's kind of excited for that. They're
When you get some folks traveling through looking for a spot to kind of rest, make a check, and entertain people, you usually get a pretty good deal. They're always a little under the radar, but this sounds like a cool deal on the 22nd.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're you know, I've never heard of them before, but they got it on their website, and they're some pretty cool music. They're out of Seattle. They're doing a world tour trying to get their name out there, so.
Well, let's get music fans and football fans and Husker fans, and we'll get them all packed in here as usual over the next 10 days.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, Tim, I'll let you get back to work, man.
All right.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right.
Tim
Sounds good.
Thanks, man. Tim, he is the boss. He is the chef. He and, of course, he's got some great help around here as well. And stop by and see us for lunch today or anytime. They're open 7 days a week here at Bandits Sports Bar and Grill. We've got one more break that we want to take, and we'll be back and kind of wrap things up on this Thursday Doug and Daddy show after this.
Summer is here, and Mountain Mud Espresso in Hastings has cool drinks to keep you cool. Stop into Mountain Mud Espresso and try a smoothie, a frappe, a flavored iced tea, iced latte, or one of our many frozen drinks. On the 4th of July, you can get a frozen red, white, and blue for half price. Mountain Mud Espresso is so much more than just coffee. We also have gift certificates that are sure to please. Two locations in Hastings to serve you at Ampride, 14th and Burlington, and on Highway 6. Grab a Mountain Mud Espresso today and have a blast.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair. Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a summer checkup. Summer driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the hot summer driving conditions. Tice Auto Care can check your hoses, brakes, fluids, and air conditioning so you're prepared for your vacation or just everyday driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your summer vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a Custom Pack of Hastings get USDA Select Boneless New York Strip Steaks, only $7.98 a pound. Fresh homemade blue cheese bratwurst, only $2.88 a pound. And assorted varieties of Village Pie Maker pies, only $9.45 each. It's all at Custom Pack, 601 West J.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Hi, I'm Bo Huffman from your Kearney and Hastings GNC stores. I have been helping people with their health and nutrition needs for over 10 years, and GNC is the world leader in natural health and wellness products with an unmatched 75 years in the nutritional supplement industry. A reputation like ours is earned by providing superior products and service to every individual. Experience the difference firsthand, plus save 20% off your purchases with your gold card every day at both the Hastings GNC north of Walmart and the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall.
Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping things up for our Thursday show here at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill. Come in and join us for lunch or anytime. The kitchen is open. Get some of the wings, get pizza, sub sandwiches, a great variety to choose from. You can get something different every time you stop in. Catch their happy hour, which is from 4 to 6. And because the Husker Sports Nightly Show is here, you heard Tim moments ago saying they're extending that through the show tonight here at Bandit, so come in and join us. And another thing we want to let you know about, Misco Sports, they have been around serving the state of Nebraska for decades, and they continue to do so, like most businesses, in a little bit different capacity. Their worldwide headquarters, of course, Stephen, the great community of Ord, is now under new ownership. Stop in, say hi to Steve, Jeremy, and Megan, the new owners. Ask them about getting your Husker gear for the season, and they are carrying ASICS footwear for the whole family as well. I hate to say this, but it's never too early to say back to school. Get that Husker gear. Get your shoes taken care of there at Misco's. Say you've come to, you need to come see the same great people that have been getting you better equipped for the games you play. Steve, one of the owners, has been with Misco's for nearly 25 years. These aren't guys that walked in off the street and started working at Misco's. They know the product, they know you, the customer, and they like to get to know more of you. Misco's Sports in downtown Ord.
Ordway falls in love. That's whenever I hear that horse's name, I think of you, Doug. You know, school started here yesterday for four elementary schools. That's depressing in its own right. But can I put a quick plug in for Fawner?
Yes.
If you're looking for something to do, and in fact, if Jimmy Langan is listening, we're having a handicapping contest a week from tomorrow night, Friday, which would be July, 18th? And it starts at 6 o'clock. We're focusing on Del Mar, Canterbury Park, Prairie Meadows and Evangeline Downs. Jimmy, get your money out. $25 entry fee. You must seat a bank for $150. It's a live play deal. If you've never been involved in one and you're looking for something to do a week from tomorrow night, because I didn't hear of anything going on here to compete against the Bandits crowd, join us at Fauner. You'll never regret it.
And always there for you at Fauner Park. And every once in a while, the great horse player, Big Game James, will make an appearance and maybe special guest bartend here at Bandits.
Are you talking about Mr. Valdez?
Every once in a while.
Big Game James is what he goes by now.
Well, that's what we call him. That's what we call him. We came up with
He's
that.
He's always been a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, one of the last handicapping contests we had, you're on Mr. Langan walked off with all the money. There's a guaranteed first place prize of $500 also in this deal. So I know you're not a really fanatical, avid horse player, Doug, but this is all computerized now. You sit here just like we got the screens here over our table, and you watch where everybody is, and it updates every minute. You got the top 10 board, then you got the top 50 board, you know, and it's really a cool situation. But you have to experience to really appreciate it all.
What would happen if I won?
Well, the $500 right off the top, plus whatever you win at the windows, you know, with your live wagering vouchers. But you got to get past the $2 win place and show habits. You put it all to show now. I don't know. If you've been listening to my touts, I don't think you even bet anymore. So,
well, folks, we want to remind you also the 19th Annual Miss Basketball Showcase is underway. It's 4-day run at UNK. Game started this morning at 9 a.m. and run through 9:50 tonight, and the championship set for Sunday night. Congratulations to Hastings Johnson Imperial, winner of the Cornhusker League Junior Championship. It started Monday. They got rained out in Lincoln. They made it up last night, got it in. They won it 9-4. Hastings 5 points in Seward, rained out, won't make that up. Kearney Runza swept Lincoln High. We didn't get the rain till after the baseball. Home Federal last night beat Lexington in game one. Did not get the second game in because of the weather. And Donovan's Danielle Lemick is taking on Julia Sievers today at Oak Hill in Omaha for the Nebraska women's match play. And it's been 1 year since we had a great week in Omaha at the Country Club watching Kenny Perry win the U.S. Senior Open. And he begins his title defense today. They are down in Oklahoma. And I guess I just got more Grand Island people to talk about here. Travis England, along with Cody Rush, both have made the Big Ten list of distinguished scholars for the last academic year, both on the track team. Travis actually keeping a 4.0 GPA, which took me 3 years to get to in my career, just to add up to 4.0. But I think that's going to basically get us to the end of the program today. I hope we've covered it all. Don't forget to come into Bandits. The Husker Sports Nightly Summer Roadshow is here tonight with Matt Davis and Lane Grindel. Ben McLaughlin among the hosts. Darren Erstad, baseball coach, softball coach Rhonda Revelle will also be here 6 to 9. Come by and get some autographs, pictures, selfies, whatever it is you want to get done here tonight. And Steve, we're back here at Bandits in a couple of Thursdays. Can I pencil you in?
I'm already locked and loaded, and hopefully I'm going to have Marv Johnson, one of the top trainers of all time here in Nebraska, as a guest. You know, he ran second and got beat yesterday with Jeff Apel's claim to fame, Lady Caroline, in an $85,000 stake race at Indiana Downs. And I can't wait to hear the story. You know how Mr. Apel is, but this had to be, as they were coming down the lane, one of the biggest thrills this man will ever have experienced. And to just lose it at the wire is so prophetic that I didn't feel all that bad. I'd have loved to have been in his shoes, but now he's got something to gun for. Mr. Apel's got to come back and win it all next time.
And I think 20-1 on the morning line. So he
went off at 30-1.
Oh, my God. What a price. What a price. We're going to wrap things up here. Thanks to Tim and the gang at Bandits. We're back here in a couple of weeks. And, of course, thanks to the college football guru, Phil Steele, for joining us on today's show. For Matt Davison of the Husker Sports Network
and also Dan Duggan of NJ.com. If you missed any of it, go to our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Big Ten football preview continues with Minnesota and Marcus Fuller of the St. Paul Pioneer Press tomorrow. Trevor from CrossFit is going to be sliding in. We've got the big challenge coming up on Saturday, fundraiser for Dante Rodriguez going to the FILA Junior Championships and more. For our producer engineer Jeff Babel and Steve Anderson, I'm Doug Duda. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.